on their game today. I really appreciate that wonderful music. It was just great. And Chris, you were on your game too. I got white cards. Well, I want to just begin by helping us just for a moment just to think over the past year or two and bring to mind the celebrations that you've experienced over the last year or two. Maybe you participated in somebody's special wedding. Maybe your last birthday was the greatest party ever, or your anniversary. Maybe this past Christmas was one of the best Christmas celebrations you've ever had. Think about your celebrations. Think of fun celebrations with your friends over the last year. Think about them. What was the best time that you had with your friends this year? Think how fun that was. Sports fans, think about the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup. Think about the Patriots going to the Super Bowl. Now, that's a little bittersweet, isn't it? But think about your personal victories and accomplishments. With people drinking a toast to you over the last year or two. In each case, how long did those celebrations last? You know, we often hear after every high, there's a low. It's always back to reality. After a celebration, we hear life's a series of peaks and valleys. I actually think a healthier way to look at life is that most every day there are both things to celebrate and things that we're going to feel some sadness about, some sorrow about. Yet there is a celebration that never ends, and that celebration never ends. That's a reality because Jesus is risen from the dead. Let's go to the scriptures. 1 John 5:11-12, first of all. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And let me just pause for a moment. This life is in his Son, is in Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Pretty cut and dry, isn't it? If you have the Son, in other words, if you've said to the Lord, if we've said to the Lord, Lord, I believe you're the Son of God who died to atone for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, and I want to follow you. And I want to advance your ways, your cause, your kingdom. If you've made that commitment from the heart, you have the Son. And therefore, you have eternal life in him. And that is such a done deal. Your name is written in the book of life. And therein is the celebration that never ends. Now, the book of life is mentioned three or four times in the Bible. It's a figurative term. I don't know. I don't think there's this literal book. It'd be a pretty big book. It's a figurative term. If you have the Son, your name is written in the book. Life continues to happen to us, tough stuff to deal with, and we still sin. But nothing that ever happens, none of the tough stuff we have to deal with, can possibly erase our names from the book. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can erase your name from the book. Nothing. It's a done deal. If you are in Christ, if you have the Son. Now I want to move on to what Jesus said to 72 people he sent out to minister in his name. These were disciples of his, these 72 people, and they were people who, quote, had the Son. And they had experienced a lot of success in their mission. They'd gone out into villages and preached the word, and people had responded. They healed the sick by the power of God. They liberated people from tormenting forces, dark forces that were troubling them. So in returning from their mission, these 72 people were really excited. They were pumped up, and they say to Jesus, this is what they say, Luke 10, 17 to 20. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Don't rejoice to all the things that you do in ministry. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Above all, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, he says to them, above all, celebrate that your names are in the book. Your names are written in the book. Above everything else, celebrate that. Now, also, all celebrations are important in this life that often can be very difficult. So celebrate good times. We all need a party sometimes. We need to create parties. We do need to celebrate what we are able to accomplish by our God-given abilities and the power of God. We got to always remember that anything we're able to accomplish is by God's power. Any gift that we've been given, any talent we've been given, we didn't produce. It was given. So we always got to remember that. But nonetheless, we celebrate what we're able to accomplish. So maybe you bounce back well from a long rehab after suffering major surgery. Celebrate that. Did you go through maybe you persevered through a tough time at work and just a real tough season at work and you made it through in flying colors. Celebrate that. Maybe you have a son or daughter that was having difficulty in school and your son or your daughter demonstrated some real progress academically or emotionally. Celebrate that. The 72 people, disciples, rightly celebrated their ministry success. Listen, to make spiritual inroads in the lives of people has never been easy. And things were going to get real tough for the disciples down the road. Inexplicable, horrendous things were going to happen in their own necks. We're going to be on the block. And their celebration of the demons submitting to them was going to be short-lived. And Jesus knew that. So he says to them, celebrate above all that your names are written in the book. None of our celebrations are going to last very long either. Inevitably, the next difficulty comes, so we need, above all, to celebrate that our names are written in the book. It's the only celebration that never ends. Eugene Peterson has written a great paraphrase of the New Testament called The Message, and this is how he translates or paraphrases 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far, far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things that we can't see now will last forever. So celebrate all you who have the Son, that your names are written in the book. There's a life waiting beyond our wildest imaginings for all who, through faith, persevere through life's difficulties, loving Jesus and living this life to honor him and serve him. It's all in place and it's waiting because Jesus has risen from the dead and he's promised that he will raise us too. So above all, celebrate that your names are written in the book. Perhaps nobody more beautifully described heaven, what heaven will be like, than Joseph Bailey. Joe Bailey, he's written a book that's been around a while called Heaven. He died in 1986 after a long career as an author and educator. I've met Joe. He's a delightful, insightful Christian man. He did a teaching mission at my first church in Colorado. Joe Bailey suffered through much grief. He lost three of his sons prior to his own death. And so he's also written another book, which is an excellent book, called The View from a Hearse. But I want to read you some excerpts. I've used this at times in funerals and found that this little book has brought more hope to people than any other book on my shelf other than the Bible for people in grief. And so I just want to, it's anointed, and it's grounded in the truths of Scripture. Just read you excerpts from it. It's set up as a dialogue between Joe, the author, and God. My courage is Christ, my hope is Christ, and the door to heaven he flung open by his own death for my sins. My hope, his resurrection. What will heaven be like? Whether I go there as a result of this operation, he was about ready to go into surgery. What will heaven be like whether I go there as a result of this operation, a remote possibility, or go there later, a certainty? Heaven will be my eternal home with Christ. I'll just move into the part of his Father's house he prepared for me. No fixing up that home, no parts unfinished, no disappointments on moving day. No, he's prepared it. He's made it completely ready, completely perfect, completely mine. What's a home like, one that he prepares? A place of peace and beauty, of joy and glory, of celestial music, of fresh, unchanging, purest love. And I'll say, hello, Lord, I'm tired. That's well put. And he'll say, rest, because I have work for you to do. Rest? Yes, remember that I myself rested on the seventh day of creation. So rest is not incompatible with heaven's perfection. And work? Of course. Did you think heaven would be an eternal Sunday afternoon nap? My people serve me in heaven. I have work for you to do. Keeping all the gold polished, ruling angels, managing the universe for me. Everything in heaven is turned upside down from earth. Values are reversed. What's most important on earth? What have men lived and died for millennia. Gold. You'll walk on it in heaven like concrete or asphalt. Can I see my sons who died a few years ago and my parents, Mary Lou's parents, my brother? Of course you'll see them. All of them trusted me on earth. Except John, the infant. He couldn't understand, so he couldn't believe. But he's in heaven because of my atoning work. Will I recognize them? Didn't my servant Paul tell you that the assurance of reunion with your loved ones should bring you comfort? Where would the comfort be if you couldn't recognize them? And didn't my servant David find comfort when his infant died that he would go to be with that son? I wonder if my infant son will still be an infant. My son who was 18 when he died, still 18? You'll soon see. Heaven seems more like a city than anything else. Yes, it is a city. Not people living in isolation, like on a vast Texas ranch, but living together. Not independent, everyone living his own life, but living together in perfect love, perfect harmony, perfect cooperation. Some of my children may have lived lonely lives on earth, but never here in heaven. Isolation, the ultimate aloneness, is not for my people, but for those who would not respond to my spirit, who would not trust me for life eternal. How about money? Nobody brings his money with him, but many have sent it on ahead. There are some South American Indians here who look forward to meeting you. You helped support the missionary who took the gospel to them, who introduced them to me. Are all those things the gold, silver, and precious stones the Bible talks about? Yes, but don't look for precisely what my servant said in the Bible about heaven. What do you mean? I was limited in what I could reveal to them, limited to what their eyes had seen and their language could express. Can you imagine the difficulty of describing a pineapple to an Eskimo on the Arctic tundra? Sweet and juicy blubber is about as close as you could come. Or how could you describe ice to a desert tribe? How could I tell earth people about heaven? Well, what about the Bible writers who had visions? They had the same problem of communicating what they saw to others who had not shared their vision. How could the Eskimo describe a pineapple to others in his village, even if he were transported to Hawaii and then return? Sweet and juicy blubber is still about as close as he could come. I remember how frustrated my beloved disciple John was as he tried to describe his vision of the future and of heaven. So it's far beyond what the Bible says? Far, far beyond. Well, maybe that's why Isaiah's vision and Daniel's descriptions of the great beasts always seem so strange to me. And a lot of things in Revelation. I can never get a clear sight on what angels look like. You'll soon see them. and they won't seem strange any longer. Just beautiful and full of power, like all that I create. I'll have a lot to see. And you will take, it will take you ages to see it. And to learn, you'll be learning and growing forever. The structure of an atom is child's play compared to what you'll learn here. And did you think that you understood the mystery of my incarnation, the problem of pain? You haven't begun. The work that you mentioned earlier, will it just be managing your universe? Of course not. You can also plant a garden without sweat or drought or weeds. Like Eden, you'll find grass on the other side of the fence that really is greener. Or you can create a poem or an oratorio. You can carve wood or paint a landscape. To praise you, everything in heaven is to my praise. My people intend it, so I accept it. But that doesn't mean that they only sing my praise. Their work is praise to me. Is there any group, any people whose entrance into heaven brings you special joy? The persecuted of the earth, men and women who are imprisoned, tortured, killed for my sake. When my servant Stephen was stoned, I stood to welcome him into glory. So I welcome all who are faithful unto death. What a great thing to be freed from all persecution at last and to be totally victorious. How about people who were limited to do things on earth? The severely handicapped and disabled. They are my greatest joy in heaven, next to those who were martyred for my sake. To see them whole, able to do everything they couldn't do on earth. To those who had not, it has been given. Are there many people in heaven? A multitude beyond numbering from every tribe and nation on earth. If there's such a great crowd in heaven, doesn't one individual person get lost or absorbed? There's a great crowd on earth too, and yet you're different from every other person who ever lived. Even your fingerprints are different. You'll be the same unique you in heaven. And you'll be uniquely mine. I call everyone by name. Moses is Moses. Priscilla is Priscilla. And you'll be Joseph Bailey throughout eternity. Friends, celebrate that your names are written in the book. Because Jesus is risen, and he has promised that he will raise you up too, and me up too. Celebrate. If you have the Son, that your names are written in the book. Heavenly Father, we celebrate you, your victory, your resurrection. We celebrate your miraculous being alive and working in our lives in the world. And for the resiliency we experience through hardships as a result. Now, as we continue to pray, I'm going to give opportunity for anyone here to receive Jesus as Lord if you've not done that yet, and if you now are ready. And I'll just lead you in prayer, and you can softly or repeat each phrase after me or just whisper it. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Who died for me to atone for my sin. And who rose again from the dead. And I want to follow you and advance your ways, advance your cause, advance your kingdom. I receive you as Lord of my life. Amen.